the audience know who you are and your therapy practice, please?
Yep. So I'm Martina. I'm a psychodynamic and CBT trained therapist, and I have my own private practice. I'm also a counsellor at the Royal Academy of Music. I'm also a senior therapist at a charity called Black Minds Matter, which is specifically for people who want Black therapists. I'm also a mentor at the Black African Asian Therapy Network for students who are on psychotherapeutic courses and are of colour. And I just do a lot of community work. I'm very passionate, particularly about intergenerational trauma and how that affects us.
We had some questions from the audience. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I can't get balance and structure. What tips would you give on that?
I would say start small, because I think sometimes we feel that we have to get everything right and it has to be big. But I always remind my clients that baby steps don't have a baby effect. They have a huge effect because it's still forward. Forward is still forward. You're still taking, you're still starting on that journey. So one thing that I used to do with people when I was working through the pandemic was, because there was a lack of routine and it was hard to motivate yourself, something as simple as saying, do you know what, I'm going to eat my dinner at 5 p.m. every day.
Hi guys, you are listening to episode 21, Think Tenacity podcast series called Why Finding a Black Therapist Makes All the Difference. I'm your podcast host, Bella Rareworld, international mental health motivational speaker. I'm so excited because today I'm sharing with you a special episode on our series, Why Finding a Black Therapist Makes All the Difference. Some of you may know, I host a very popular annual Zoom workshop event called Making Time for Black Mental Health. This is a popular sold-out event held every year. On this podcast episode, what you will enjoy is our second annual event held on the 31st of May 2022. The audio recording of that event, which is the segment of the Q&A panel of four Black therapists. And the topics include bereavement, loneliness, depression, anxiety, and what is racial trauma.
Coming up.
Whilst the audience is targeted at the Black community, this event workshop is also open to non-Black and BAME communities to raise your awareness on how to approach discussions around Black mental health within the Black community. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our mental health charity partners, BBS, the Bereavement and Loss Charity for Brent, the Samaritans, Rethink Mental Illness, and Bipolar UK. All contact details for our Black therapists on the Q&A panel will be added to the show notes.
Something wonderful for your ears and your mind.
You are listening to Think Tenacity podcast, www.thinktenacity.com.
Welcome everybody, and welcome to our event, our second annual 2022 event for Making Time for Black Mental Health. Guys, give yourselves a round of applause for choosing to attend today and choosing to make this step to look after your well-being. So give yourselves a round of applause. Before we begin our event, Making Time for Black Mental Health event, can I take a few moments to share with you the whys? Why did I create And why am I the founder of this annual event? I created this event when I was admitted to the mental hospital. I have lived in experience being a Black woman diagnosed with bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, PTSD, and I suffer from depression. In our community, we are more likely to suffer with mental issues or be diagnosed with a mental illness compared to our white counterparts. Black men are 10 times more likely to have experienced a psychotic disorder. And my research prior to launching this annual event indicates from the gov.uk, Black people are 4 times more likely to be detained under the Mental Health Act. And did you know, according to statistics, 29% of Black women experience a common mental disorder compared to 21 white women? And these are the reasons why I created and founded the annual event, Making Time for Black Mental Health. I now declare the event is open. We have got a packed event for you this evening. Just some housekeepings. Can you ensure that your phones are on vibrate or switched off? Thank you very much. We are happy for you to have your camera on or your camera off, whichever you decide. So the program is, we are going to kickstart with our panel question, what do you do when you're feeling lonely? So one of the first therapists I'd like to bring to the table is Mark.
I'm Mark, I'm a counsellor and psychotherapist at About You Coaching Counselling Psychotherapy.
Can you first explain, what is loneliness? What are reasons that one can become and feel lonely?
It varies. I suppose it's the obvious one where we don't have anyone around us, so we can feel physically lonely. Then there's the emotional one where, like, you feel like you're not, you could be surrounded by family and friends and loved ones, but not feeling fulfilled or heard.
For the audience, could you give some tips on how we might overcome loneliness, please?
Examine your environment, like create a safe place, like with yourself and others that you would like to hopefully invite into your safe space. Sometimes it could be a boundary issue. Some people you may not be able to know, but like you might, your boundaries may be too high and people might be struggling to get through and connect with you. Schedule effective time for, like, not just yourself, but those who you want to be connected with. It could also be like the people that are around you or the people that you're trying to connect with. There could be a communication issue, as well as expectations. So what I'd say there's, like, are you expecting too much from somebody? Have you communicated effectively what you want from them? Have you got clear communication, as like, or an agreement on how often you two can communicate?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think often, sometimes it may be about facing our fears and giving things a go that can overcome loneliness.
Follow us on social media by searching Think Tenacity.
We will discuss trauma. Hi, Martina.
So I'm Martina. I'm a psychodynamic and CBT trained therapist, and I have my own private practice. I'm also a counsellor at the Royal Academy of Music. I'm also a senior therapist at a charity called Black Minds Matter, which is specifically for people who want Black therapists. I'm also a mentor at the Black African Asian Therapy Network for students who are on psychotherapeutic courses and are of colour. And I just do a lot of community work. I'm very passionate, particularly about intergenerational trauma and how that affects us.
Could you break down or define what is trauma, please?
Okay, so trauma is the way that we live our lives and respond to an incident or ongoing incidences in our life. So people usually think trauma is something that's happened to us, but it's not, it's the after effects. So if we apply that to us as a people, as Black people, our biggest trauma is racial trauma, because we have to deal with that on a regular basis. And for those who do not know what racial trauma is, it's the trauma associated with your race. So I know for myself personally, there's not a week that doesn't go by when I'm not reminded of my race. So in terms of our kind of racial trauma, what we do, it's the way that we conduct ourselves in the office. It's the code switching. It's the thinking about, is our passion going to be misinterpreted as aggression? Is it, shall we have our hair curly or do we need to do it straight? Because we need to worry about, you know, how we are perceived as Black people. And that's been rooted in experiences that we've had, discrimination and pain that we've suffered. So that's an example of what trauma is. It's how we respond physically, emotionally to what has happened to us. And it can be ongoing or it can be a one-off incident.
Could you define for the audience, what is PTSD and what's the difference of PTSD and trauma? Thank you.
Okay, well, they're both types of trauma, but PTSD is specific to an incident. So it's something like war, it's something like a traumatic incident, a health kind of incident. It's something that's happened to you that is been extremely, extremely traumatic, abuse, things like that. Those will kind of channel and set off an event of PTSD. Okay. And trauma, again, is kind of interchangeable, because PTSD is trauma, but PTSD is a bit more severe in terms of the longer term effects and the actual incident that has occurred.
A question came in from an anonymous Eventbrite delegate. How do we go about setting boundaries, healthy boundaries, regards race issues within the workplace, please?
Okay, I would say definitely make sure that you're not in a position that you have to be the spokesperson for Black people, because I think that happens a lot with us in terms of, if we are in a predominantly white space, there is an expectation that, oh, Martina's Black, so she'll be able to speak on the Black experience. No, that's not true. We are a people, but we're all different. So there shouldn't be an expectation that I have to educate you on things like white privilege and things about trauma and history, because you're never going to get it because you've never been in my shoes. So what I kind of do, and I would advise in terms of when you're in those spaces, just speak up and say, I understand that you want to learn more. I actually think it's a great thing that you want to learn more, but I can't actually do that for you. And one book that I always say to a lot of people is, you know, why I'm no longer speaking to white people about race, read it, you know, start to look at literature, start to look at things that you can educate yourself with, because the Blacksplaining, which is what I call it, having to explain your Blackness, can be very exhausting. And nobody should have to be expected to do that all the time. So what I would say is, if you feel comfortable to join in with conversations and have conversations, have them, but protect yourself. You know, have your boundary of what feels like it's too much or too little. And if you don't want to be part of that conversation, I would just say, just decline it, because you are allowed to do that. Your Blackness doesn't mean that you have to sit there and educate and explain, because that can also be anxiety and traumatic in itself too. And you don't have to go through that.
Being the founder of Think Tenacity Academy, our vision is to fundraise for access to Black therapists like yourselves. What are your thoughts on, we do want to have access to Black therapists, but can a white therapist still understand us as a Black client? What are your thoughts on that, please?
It's a hard one, because, again, when we think about psychoanalysis, therapy, it is a white man profession. It's founded by white people. So the actual, the details, that the origins of it, it's a white, it's very Eurocentric. So in terms of being able to look at things like anxiety and depression, you know, certain personality presentations, most definitely a white person can deal with that. But the nuances, the Black experience on top of it, a white therapist won't get that. A white therapist won't understand things like unconscious bias. A white therapist won't be able to understand sometimes, like some of my clients say to me, Martine, I just want to wrap my hair for the session, you know, and they don't have to explain that. Whereas sometimes I've had clients who've said they've turned up to sessions and just wrapped their hair, and a white therapist would be like, oh, why'd you do that? And that curiosity, and then it then becomes educating the therapist when you just want the space to be able to sit there and not have to do that. So there's also power in visibility and being seen as well. So seeing a therapist that kind of looks like you, kind of gets it, you know, has that kind of, if you see, you know, when you see another Black person in the street, that kind of nod, you get it, you know, you don't have to say anything, it's an unspoken thing. And a white therapist will kind of miss some of that. So it's not necessarily that I don't think that they can't work with Black clients. I just think there's certain things and hurdles that don't have to be jumped over in terms of the Black experience that can get missed.
A common question that came in via Eventbrite, an anonymous question. I'm an employee working within the workforce, and I am experiencing struggles with mental illness or symptoms of mental health or becoming mentally unwell. How do I approach my employer and share I am struggling with mental health, please?
We have to approach them in the way that the whole policy, the whole workplace encourages it. So it would be nice to think that you'd be treated fairly and not discriminated against. That's what the policies and the laws should protect you against. But I say that if you don't feel like that, one thing that I suggest and advise is to have an advocate. So in terms of approaching your employer, you can actually have access to outside advocates. You can actually have somebody with you to come to meetings. You can have somebody there in case you need that extra support, because you should be able to go to your employer, and they should not discriminate against you on that ground. It's illegal. So I would say, I know that the stigma and everything that goes with it, that's the hardest kind of part to deal with, and how you be judged and the fear of that. But what I would say has been quite helpful in my experience is like having that extra mental health support there, and that outside person who is probably independent to that organization but is in your corner.
Statistics show 1 in 4 members of the Black community do not share their mental health. Many of us in our Black community are unaware of what therapy really is. What would you say the benefits are of therapy, and what are the motivations to take those first steps to invest in your well-being for therapy, please?
So I think the benefit is definitely having a space that's for you, that you can allow yourself to be vulnerable. You can embrace your softness. I know as a Black woman, you know, I've had to hear, oh, the strong Black woman title. Yes, we are strong, but sometimes we don't want to be. Sometimes we don't want to have to keep holding that. We just want to be in a space and say, do you know what? I don't feel okay. I'm going through things. I've got anxieties. Another good book as well that I've got over here is called Soothe Your Nerves. And it's a Black woman's guide to anxiety, overcoming panic. And Dr. Angela Neal Barnett, she talks about how we have just been programmed, kind of like what Mark was saying about survival. We grow up on survival. You know, first of all, this isn't our country. We're brought to this country, so we already have to worry about how we are conducting ourselves, how we're surviving, how we're dealing with racism. So that we already are forward thinking with that, we're already planning, and that in itself is an anxiety. So sometimes we just don't want to have to think about that. So therapy gives you a space to be able to just be vulnerable and not have a friend or a family member who, again, it can be helpful to share, but there can be judgments that come with that. There are biases, you know, there's that competition in dialogue of, okay, well, let me tell you about me, when sometimes you just need to have someone listen to you. So that's what I would say is one of the real benefits of therapy, because I think a lot of us see it as an indulgence when mm-hmm. it's actually a right, I believe.
What are your thoughts on this question, as it was a common question from the Eventbrite questions? I'm in a scenario with inflation rise. I cannot afford a therapist, but I really want one. The NHS waiting list are long. What should I do?
There's some really good organisations out there. For example, I work for one, Black Minds Matter, and they fund 12 sessions for free. Again, there's going to be a waiting list, but that's something to think about. There's also some therapists that do operate on sliding scales as well. So they are aware of, you know, financial barriers. And I actually know some therapists who have actually pro bono spaces, so you can kind of access it. So what I would say is just kind of have a real look around, because there are services out there. I know that, I think it's Mind in Hackney, I want to say, that also have provisions as well. So there are a lot of different community services out there, but I can't guarantee that they'll be quicker in terms of waiting lists because of the need.
If the audience would like to take a session with you of therapy, mm-hmm. what's your format? Is it face-to-face, Zoom, or over the telephone?
All of the above. I'm working in a blended way at the moment. I'd say the majority of my clients are online, but I do have face-to-face, and I have a couple of telephone clients too. So it's purely on your comfort level.
Could you define what is anxiety?
Anxiety is, in a nutshell, it's fear of the future. It's fear of the what ifs.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the what if this happens? What if that happens? Anxiety is a survival mechanism. It's designed to keep us alive. So, for example, it stops us from running out in the road, because we're not directly getting hit by a car, but there's a chance that we could get hit by a car. So that's where anxiety is good. But what can happen with us is sometimes those threats to our survival can change. So it can be public speaking. It can be going into different situations that feel quite threatening. So what our brain starts to do is it starts to plan in advance for something that hasn't happened yet. So you start to do behaviors in accordance with not going into that what if situation that feels quite scary.
What would you say is the symptoms when they become worse that can lead to the mental illness, so becoming an anxiety disorder?
It would be the actual length of the anxiety, the length of the symptoms and the occurrence of it. So it's normal to have anxiety in small doses, but if you find it's actually starting to affect your day-to-day living, that's when it becomes an issue. So if it's stopping you, for example, from leaving your house or from entering situations and you want to be in those situations, that's when it's probably an anxiety disorder.
You are listening to Think Tenacity podcast. Follow us on Instagram, search Think Tenacity. Follow us on Facebook, search Think Tenacity.
We are kindly partnered up with BBS, who is the Bereavement and Loss Charity for Brent. And they give bereavement support. So may I ask for Michael to come on the Q&A panel?
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for joining. Could you give your job role, please, at BBS?
Yeah, I'm a volunteer counsellor with the Brent Bereavement Service. I've been with them for approximately 1 year, and I see clients face-to-face as well as over the phone.
Wonderful. Could you share with the audience at BBS, what support and individual support do you give for bereavement, please?
Well, the individual support can be, we get referrals from GP surgeries and other organisations, crisis organisations. People are assessed they're allocated a counsellor, and it can be, they have a choice of face-to-face or phone counselling. It depends on whether they can get to our organisation. We're based in Willesden, High Street Willesden in northwest London. And the sessions we offer 12 sessions free of charge.
We will add Paolo's email address, because it's very simple to be part of these individual group sessions by dropping him an email. I understand you guys have recently launched free sessions for Black male mental health. Are they weekly sessions?
Yes, they are weekly sessions, and there's online sessions being planned, as well as face-to-face in our centre in Willesden. So they would be normally on a Friday around midday. We got people interested, and we're always getting the word out to everyone. I was just out last Friday at a conference in Wembley for wellbeing and mental health, and there were people asking about the service as well. So I was just trying to spread the word out there.
That's really great. Could you give a tip or two for the audience? How can we overcome bereavement? Because some bereavements can be sudden, or there's a preparation. Could you give a tip or two, please, Michael?
I would say that the most important thing is to talk, to reach out to people, not to suffer in silence, and you know, as best as you can, to acknowledge what's happened, because you know, bereavement is arguably the most, how can I say, the most significant event someone could ever go through in life. One of the hardest things that people find to talk about. And you know, there is stigma about talking about it, stigma about what to say to people who have been through bereavement. So I think that we've got to, you know, it's natural to actually reach out and talk, to say just what's going on inside, because otherwise things become bottled up. It can turn into depression.
You are one of the volunteer counsellors for Black mental health.
Yeah.
Why would you say it can be common for some of our brothers that might be fearful or not motivated to seek therapy?
Because they probably haven't been sufficiently exposed to the benefits of therapy and understanding how it works, and that it is available to them, or even a sense of it being available to them. Because I think that is quite a hurdle, really, that they don't feel it's available for them. They're not welcomed to take advantage of it, less reluctant to take up the service. Then it's a hurdle we have to learn to sort of overcome. And how do we reach out to that community and welcome them and educate them? That's the hurdle, really. I think as someone who works with the Black community myself, when I'm on the phone trying to encourage people to actually take the plunge and try and have counselling.
Yes, yes, take the plunge and try. And when we do take that plunge and try, what would you say is one or two of the benefits when we do take up therapy?
I think it's bit like opening a tap and letting out the pressure. You know, like I say, that that there's things, really, as human beings, you know, when things build up, you know, as humans, we're not meant to just bottle it up. We're, you know, there is a tap that we have to learn to recognize it's there. And as a, you know, culturally, we're not really aware of this tap, really, which basically means, you know, we're humans, we're, you know, we interact, we're designed to interact, to open up, to share, because that is where then the energy flows. Okay, so when we're not acknowledging our ability to communicate, we're closing the tap, we're closing off the energy.
Did you know Think Tenacity podcast is proudly sponsored by rareworldremovals.co.uk for all your home and office removal needs. Whether you're moving a single item, moving home or moving office location, our professional drivers with over 13 years experience will be able to help you with any of your removal needs with an outstanding low-cost hour rate. Receive a quote today. Visit rareworldremovals.co.uk. You can follow us on social media, searching Rare World Removals. Follow us on Instagram, search Rare World Removals.
Hello, Delroy. How are you?
As my parents' general Jason would say, I'm blown for life.
So could you introduce yourself, your job role, and the work that you do, please?
Yeah, Delroy Hall, been a psychotherapist for over 30 years, trainer, teacher. I worked as a student counsellor at Sheffield Hallam University for 20 years.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you can hear Delroy's accent a bit. He is from Sheffield, and I'm on a quest to making time for Black Mental Health International. So from London to Sheffield, we are getting there. So Delroy, I'd like to touch and talk about depression. Mm-hmm. If you can give the audience a definition, what is depression? The reason I want to give this definition is some people who may not be educated on mental health think you just can't get out of bed. You just can't shake it. So Delroy, exactly what is depression?
It is a very common mood disorder. But for some, so what happens, this kind of mood, low mood disorder persists, they suggest, more than 2 weeks. So people have very low moods, things that once excited them doesn't excite them anymore, really not even cheesed off, but just a low mood, not even fed up, it's kind of lower than that. Physical symptoms can be chronic pain, lethargy. Now, getting out of bed, not getting out of bed can be one of them, but sometimes people can get to work and they can function. They call functional depressive. So they still don't have much zest for life, but they can function at particular at a particular level. The person's view of life is very low, diminished, and so forth. So, and they just can't seem to shake it off. Depression is, it's symbolizing something. So what is it symbolizing? So one of the things I understand, I was always taught, the presenting problem is not the real problem.
Keep listening for the best advice, inspiration and call to action to get you on the road to where you want to be.
And the other symptom or causes of depression can be either conforming to a culture, a family. They want to break free, not necessarily want to do wild things, but their lives are suppressed. The person who's written about that is a guy called Parker Palmer. He's not a counsellor, but there's an excellent book called Let Your Life Speak. And part of his argument is that one of the reasons why people suffer with depression is that they live stymied lives. They live in lives to please other people. So it can be, for example, a child, youngster wants to be an artist, very, very skillful in it. The one who studied at university, the parent says no, they do another degree, they end up in a job which they hate, but they still want to be an artist. So that can cause depression.
What are some tips if you are feeling in that rut to overcome depression? What can we do? We've heard of, you know, spending time in nature. How do we overcome depression?
Honesty is one thing. Seeking help. We spoke about nature. Going to the doctors, and certainly going to see a therapist, somebody you can talk to. Progression only begins when there's honesty.
Right, being vulnerable and honest, that's the start.
Being honest and saying to yourself, look, this is where I am at the moment. Because what we do, as you know, quite often, what we do as human beings, we kind of cover things over. And certainly as Black men, you know, we know how to style things out, don't we? And I guess Black women as well, we know how to style things out. Actually, styling it out is only a short-term strategy. At some point, things are going to kind of get to us.
Keeping you happy and informed.
What are the common symptoms of depression? So if I've had a prolonged time of unhappiness or uncertainty, Mm-hmm. What are the common symptoms I might be feeling or observing if I am going through depression?
Life is meaningless. And also that then goes on to, well, my life is worthless. Life is meaningless. That means then my life is worthless.
So right.
Symptoms. And sometimes we might not articulate it, but when depression gets really bad, people can actually stop eating, loss of appetite.
Loss of appetite, right.
Don't change their clothes, don't wash regularly. So that can all be signs and symptoms when people are getting kind of chronic depression. You know, you see, and my mother would say the kind of Jamaican term, they look chaka-chaka or slabba-slabba. It means that they're really untidy. They're not looking after themselves. And that can be one of the symptoms of people suffering with depression.
And if I was going to the doctor, often when we get to the doctor, we get a bit stumbled because we're nervous seeing him and he's telling us to hurry, hurry, the next patient is coming. Yeah. What could we communicate to the doctor on how we're feeling to get the adequate treatment?
It's about being courageous with how we feel, because quite often, you know, we're individuals, quite often we keep emotions to ourselves because it's the clues, it's the emotions, how we feel that helps the doctor to make the proper prescription.
For more mental health tips and to see how you can improve your well-being, visit www.thinktenacity.com and sign up to our newsletter.
We had some questions from the audience, so I'm going to return to Martina before we begin the raffle. How do I support my partner who might be struggling with depression or anxiety? How do I help them?
To be there for them, to allow a space for your partner to say, you know, they're not feeling okay. Again, you don't want to get into a position of being a therapist, but you want to provide a space where they can be vulnerable and say, I don't feel okay. So in terms of actually taking the steps, something that you could do is maybe helping them to find a therapist, because depending on where they are, that could also be something that could feel quite overwhelming. Because I think it's great if you're already, you've taken that step and you've admitted there's an issue. I think it can also, it can be hard to think, where do you start looking for a therapist? So that I'd say is, could be something quite good, like practical, and maybe some practical things, like in terms of, if self-care does start to slip or routine, just managing the practical things and helping with those. But I would say getting into the emotional stuff will be quite difficult. So again, that needs to be quite boundaried. And again, with somebody who's trained to deal with.
And a question that came in, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I can't get balance and structure. What tips would you give on that?
I would say start small. Because I think sometimes we feel that we have to get everything right and it has to be big. But I always remind my clients that baby steps don't have a baby effect. They have a huge effect because it's still forward. Forward is still forward. You're still taking, you're still starting on that journey. So one thing that I used to do with people when I was working through the pandemic was, because there was a lack of routine and it was hard to motivate yourself, something as simple as saying, do you know what, I'm going to eat my dinner at 5 p.m. every day is quite grounding. And that then you can start to build around that. So, okay, I'll have my dinner at 5 and then I might go for a walk at 6 or something like that. So that's what I would say. Just start to get the wheels in motion. Don't feel that you have to do a whole routine at once. Just start with one small thing.
Yes. Yes.
Even if it's getting out of bed. Or
yeah,
opening your curtains.
That's an achievement, you
Absolutely.
Know, get the music on and celebrate,
that's
you know,
it.
That is an achievement. Lovely. It is a common statistic. People from the Black community are at higher risk of developing mental illness and problems with mental health. What would you say are the common mental disorders around members of the Black community, please?
In my experience, it has definitely been depression, anxiety, trauma. Those have kind of been the three main things, and they're usually, from what I've seen, they're comorbid or they're intertwined.
A last question that is very common. We make the step to face our mental health issues and we may be prescribed medication. And medication often has side effects. What's the balance when we don't really want to take the medication or it suppresses our mood, but we really do need to take the medication? Many of us are fearful of medication.
Oh, it's such a hard one because, again, you know, like what was being explained today by Delroy, there can be a benefit for some people for medication, and for some people it's kind of not. But what I would say is, like, just do a real in-depth consultation, research, do everything, all of the research that you can about the medication that you are going to take, talk to your doctors about it, not what, you know, talking about dosage, everything down to the dosage, what to expect, the time. Because I've met some people who were on antidepressants for over 10 years. And you have to think, okay, has that had an effect? Is it helping you to coast, or is it helping you to live? So it's kind of knowing the difference of what's going on. Because again, like Delroy was saying, there is a suppressant element that happens. But for some people, there needs to be getting to the root of that feeling as well. So it's about trying to get that balance. So I would say definitely take your time with it and don't make a kind of a knee-jerk reaction or decision. Take your time with it. Don't rush it and get like more than one opinion, I would say, if you have to. Because unfortunately, in my experience, I've seen a lot of GPs are very quick to fling out the medication without actually doing a proper consultation or actually assessing the patient's needs. So take your time and do your research, I'd say.
Guys in the chat and the audience, I know that you are probably nervous asking questions. At the ending of the event, you will receive a mental health PDF pack. An email address will be sent to you in the chat. And if you have any questions, you can email us at podcast@thinktenacity.com. Whilst the audience is targeted at the Black community, this event workshop is also open to non-Black and BAME communities to raise your awareness on how to approach discussions around Black mental health within the Black community. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our mental health charity partners, BBS, the Bereavement and Loss Charity for Brent, the Samaritans, Rethink Mental Illness, and Bipolar UK. All contact details for our Black therapists on the Q&A panel will be added to the show notes.
You are listening to Think Tenacity Podcast, www.thinktenacity.com. Did you know Think Tenacity Podcast is proudly sponsored by rareworldremovals.co.uk for all your home and office removal needs? Whether you're moving a single item, moving home, or moving office location, our professional drivers with over 13 years experience will be able to help you with any of your removal needs with an outstanding low-cost hour rate. Receive a quote today. Visit rareworldremovals.co.uk. You can follow us on social media, searching Rare World Removals. Follow us on Instagram, search Rare World Removals.